Hello there and welcome to our podcast. My name is John Caruso. Now, the story may be a familiar one. Your parents or your grandparents, they grow older, their health deteriorates, and a nursing facility is where they spend their final days. But have you ever wondered where you would end up if, say, you're a teenager or a 20 or 30-something and you need ongoing care? Young Care is an organisation that recognised that there was and still is work to be done in this particular area. Anthony Ryan is the CEO of Young Care, and he's my guest on today's pod.
Young Care is aimed at the 18 to 65 year age brackets. And we came to being because we were the first organisation in Australia to genuinely realise that young people with disability were being caught up in aged care and nursing homes or institutional care as they regressed with their illness. And we could not believe how lost, isolated and confused our young people were, some of Australia's most vulnerable young people. That in their darkest hour, that they were being thrown into aged care and nursing homes to live out their last days. And we launched a campaign. It came from a very personal experience. We had a friend, Siobhan, and Dave. Siobhan had aggressive MS, and really Young Care was incubated out of the fact that Dave, as the husband of Siobhan, went on a campaign to ensure that she didn't end up in institutional care but could live with dignity and choice and control. And that's how Young Care started. We built our first house, our first solution, which allowed 16 young people to transition out of nursing homes into what was a beautiful way that they could live thrive and live the lives that they always wanted to do with the illness that they were presented with. To be fair, Australians didn't know about it. It was hidden. And when Tara Brown did a story on Young Care, for our first ever story on Channel 9, it opened up a whole degree of the Australian public feeling almost ashamed and uncomfortable that it was happening on our watch. I've been told through Channel 9 executive that that one story at the time created record levels of engagement from the public back to Channel 9 with regard to letters, emails, phone calls, because no one had known about the issue. It had flown under the radar. And I think the Australian sentiment was, we are a country about the fair go, and here are people that have been born into a very tough existence or have fallen into a tough existence through an accident like a punch or a car crash or a fall, and through no fault of their own, and they deserve our support. They deserve to be cradled by our community and integrated into our community and live their best lives. And that's why I think Young Care became such a compelling story, is that no one knew about it. We felt ashamed by it. And then we thought, we've got to fix this situation up as quickly as we possibly can.
So that first time that you were talking about, Anthony, would it have been 07, 08 when I first heard Bernard Fanning talking about this stuff?
Yeah, Bernard was one of the early champions. About 14 years ago, 13 years ago, they started preparing for that house. And what Young Care was doing at the time, I thought was quite, I was proud to be at the time watching from the sidelines as a supporter. Now that I'm CEO, I look at it differently from a leadership perspective. But from there, I was just seeing this group of young mates of mine who had left their jobs, had a sabbatical, and for 12 to 18 months, dedicating their lives to create this dream that hopefully would be a catalyst for the sector right across Australia. And that's exactly what it was. So it was about that time Bernie got involved. He was high profile. They were doing concerts across Australia. But really what I think captured the imagination of supporters was that very nature, that four guys saw something that was inherently wrong in our community, decided to leave their jobs and put their full-time focus and corporate focus on creating a for-purpose organisation that was able to impact change right across the country.
And tell me about some of the goals that you've kicked over the last 13, 14 years. For example, how many people would be under Young Care's care?
Look, we've literally helped thousands. So we do numerous things now. We run a Young Care Connect line, for instance, which is free. We believe it's the only free Connect line across Australia for the disability sector, for the whole of the sector. And what that does is assist people who are lost navigating through the NDIA or navigating through the next steps that they need to do as their illness progresses. Or we're speaking to family members who are in hospital, who have been thrown into disability, as I said, through a tragedy, you know, like a car crash or a fall, and they're lost and they just do not want it to do. So they don't know what to do. So we're that phone call away, which helps navigate that. We also have provided millions and millions of dollars worth of grants right across Australia now to families who simply, you know, our aim is for people to live with choice and control. And if someone wants to live in their own house or in their own community, their own region, and they're a threat of going into institutional care because they don't have a piece of equipment or they can't access the right amount of hours for their care team or whatever, we provide those grants to individuals and families to ensure that they can live exactly where they want to live, with who they want to live and how they want to live. And we're very proud of those grants. And then finally, what we are doing is building now across Australia there's a new term called special disability accommodation, which we're really excited about, which allows the young person, and we classify young between 18 and 65, so we're all in that
good
sort of category, I hope, and that allows people to utilise their SDA funding to attract someone to allow them to build and get them out of institutional care so that they can live exactly how they've always dreamt they could live with their illness.
You mentioned the millions of dollars that you've sent out in grants. Where does your funding come from?
Yeah, our funding comes from community support, some generous donors, a lot of events. We've got great corporate support with, right from the outset, we've had Suncorp as our key supporter. We've got great corporates like Better, like Flight Centres, Brighton Homes. You know, there's so many wonderful organisations. I know I've started, I'm going to get in trouble because I'm not mentioning them all, but, you know, they are fantastic. You know, people like TradeLink who are able to support us with their corporate dollars, but allow us the full autonomy to do what, because they trust trust our passion and understand that we know exactly where the best way to utilise those dollars goes. So we get support through that. But we also just recently have started enjoying support from new communities where we're building. So we're hoping to build in Noosa. We're definitely building in Pelican Waters. And so we're in DA at the moment at Noosa, and the whole approach there is to create, once again, a new solution, a new residential care solution, which will allow young people to choose to live on the Sunshine Coast. You know, who ultimately, for the last 10 years, we've been asked by the disability community, when can we come to Sunshine Coast and allow a young person to live near the beach, to live near a cafe culture, live where the restaurants are. We're so passionate and so excited to be able to finally deliver something in that part of the world.
And whereabouts in Noosa, and how large would this complex be, Anthony?
Well, there's two that we're looking at Noosa. There's a house at the moment, it's in DA, so I'm not sure, I don't want to give the exact coordinates of that just in case. But what we're doing definitely is building also what we would say is Queensland's first ever holiday home. And what we're excited about that is that it will be geared to the most complex needs for of disability. So if someone requires 24-hour ventilation, we'll have a holiday home there that we believe will allow them to finally consider having, you know, getting away and having a break and giving the family a break. What we found right across Australia is that most of the families that are impacted by disability, complex disability, they never get a holiday. They just can't get away.
It's about that respite, isn't it?
Well, it's about a risk, but it's also socioeconomically, some of them are really struggling. You know, they put all their resources into caring for the individual. They haven't been able to take that, that extra promotion. They have to leave work inside the hours. They're not putting in the extra hours. I'm stereotyping, but it's an accurate stereotype. So a holiday at Noosa is something that many of them would never be able to have dreamt about. And we have decided that that's something that we want to do. We're going to make it free. And we're going to give those people the opportunity to swim in the beaches. And in some cases, the residents of Noosa will be seeing someone have their first ever swim in the ocean.
Yeah.
I want that to be a wonderful wow experience for the community. You know, they feel proud that the Noosa community is able to open their arms up and allow these families to really integrate into such a great, wonderful lifestyle.
And you've got Mayor Claire Stewart. She's on. Is she part of the? She's part of the board of directors. Is that right?
She's board director. Yeah. She's been a board director for a number of years now. We were very proud to see that she became the mayor of Noosa last year. I think she got in just before COVID started ravaging Australia and our economy. But, she is a wonderful supporter. Her husband, Cam's a great man as well and has been supporting. Tourism Noosa has been fantastic. And we enjoy a really good relationship with Channel 9. We're regarded now nationally as one of Channel 9's Tier 1 charity partners. So we did a wonderful lunch as part of the Eat and Drink Festival the other day with Tourism Noosa. We were able to bring Carl, Stefanovic and Sylvia Jeffries and their partners. And once again, start promoting Noosa. And they're going to be great promoters of Noosa through Young Care for what we're going to be doing in your region.
And Anthony, just back to your funding, you mentioned a whole heap of corporate sponsors, but do you get funding from any level of government?
We try not to, and we don't want it, to be honest. I mean, that sounds potentially silly, but Young Care has always been very much focused upon getting the community behind us. And if we need to advocate against, to government, it's very difficult to go to government when you're receiving money from them and say, now we want you to consider this, now we want you to do this. So we actually have found that our relationship with government, all forms of government, is fantastic, and both sides of government is fantastic, because we're not asking them for anything. And when we go and tell them that something is wrong, when we actually go and say to them, this is an issue, they actually know it's coming from a good place, and they invite us into their rooms and listen to us. And as a result, we've been invited onto many national reference groups now, which helps lead the sector's thinking and wisdom of where to go to next.
Can I find out a little bit more about you, Anthony? Is this true? You're a union player. We're a union player. You broke your shoulder blade. You broke your shoulder blade in 2005. And then you went bobsleighing?
No. So when I was younger, I actually broke, I snapped L4 and L5 in a ruck. I was playing for Queensland under 17s at the time against New South Wales. So that was the end of my rugby career. Didn't cause any spinal damage, but it was enough to scare me. So then I actually concentrated on track and field and was lucky enough to make the Australian 4x4 team. But with Young Care, what you may have heard is, yes, I did break snap. We were racing. We did an adventure challenge where we had a number of teams racing in the Yukon with Huskies. And I came off my Husky at around about 60K an hour going down a hill and went into a fence. And the dogs thought it was hilarious. They wanted me to do it again. If it's true that dogs can smile and laugh, that's what they were doing to me at the time when I was rolling around in the snow. And now I'm about to walk the Simpson Desert. I think that starts on May the 20th. And the whole purpose of the desert is, once again, another adventure challenge, but to to highlight the plight of young people who are still living in institutional care and how we can get them out. And we'll utilise, you know, that challenge to bring more attention to the issue.
How are you prepping for the Simpson Desert Walk?
It's hard. We're training many mornings a week at the moment, doing a lot of hill training. The desert had, when we walk in the desert, it's actually, we've on the sat nav and all that, we've been told that it's about 1,200 sand dunes from we get dropped off in the Northern Territory by a chopper and we walk all the way back to the Birdsville Hotel. It'll take us about 8 days, about 300 kilometres. And I'm excited by it, but I'm very, very scared by it as well, because I think it's going to be a very difficult thing to do.
What scares you about it, and what time of the year are you going to do it?
It's in May 20th. We leave on May 20th, come back on May the 28th. We'll be going to Birdsville. I'll be very much looking forward to that first beer. We'll hit temperatures still around that time, around in the 40s. So the refraction heat coming off the sand will be in its 50s every now and then. But it's also then, you know, you compare that to mornings. Sometimes you hit the negatives at the same time, so you get these huge contrasts in weather. So it's the most important thing is to pack right and make sure that you've got things for both evening and morning and the daytime.
Because it gets cold overnight.
I've done it once before back in 2017, and we hit -1 one night. The contrast is extraordinary between the day and the night.
Yeah, I've checked the temperatures. We're going to Uluru in early May, and my wife was very surprised at how low the temperatures do get overnight. So you're right, you've got to pack for day and night. How many people going with you, Anthony?
I've got 14 people on this one, and from all sorts, all walks of life, you know, corporate leaders right through to young people that have family members that, you know, that have been impacted by disability, and then they just support young care because they know that their family member's going to be requiring young care at some stage in their lives. It's really humbling to see that people are willing to walk this 300K to provide a focus on an issue that we still believe in Australia is such a tough issue to, such a significant issue to overcome.
CEO of Young Care, Anthony Ryan. He was my guest on Everyone Has a Story today. If you think others might get something out of hearing that particular story from Anthony or the story about Young Care, please feel free to share the pod about on your social media networks and rate and review the pod if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or Wooshka. Until next time, take care.